worship team. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Yeah. Thank you, worship team, for leading us.
Hey, can I just say something just real quick, man? John, thank you for leading us in that practice. Just tell us to raise our hands and say that. Can I just say something real quick about moments like that? When there are moments like that, something in you may rise up and say, oh, that doesn't feel genuine to me. I'm not going to do that. Can I just tell you, do it anyway? Like I love what John said, tell God that you trust him. A lot of times what happens with moments like that, when we instantly think about, I don't trust God. We start to think about all the areas we trust God. So in those moments, when somebody like John says, this is just like a tip for your soul. In those moments, man, when somebody like John says, hey, let's just say to God right now out loud that we trust him. Say it even if you don't feel it. Because you're saying it, one, to God, but two, you are saying it to your own soul. So we are trusting in God today. And then I'm just telling you, man, when you do that, you will feel things begin to shift inside. And so I just want to urge you to lean in the moments like that. And those are powerful practices to do. And so, man, just don't miss that out because I don't feel it, man. Do it and watch your feelings follow what you do. All right? That was free. We're being a part of the sermon, man. Hey, thanks for coming today. My name's Mark. I'm the pastor. We're excited to have you here with us today. We just prayed. I'm going to pray one more time. All right, so will you pray with me today? God, we are diving into some waters today, some really practical things. God, this is going to be maybe rehearsal for some, new for others. But no matter where we find ourselves today, God, I pray that you would help us to hear from you in a fresh way, in a real way, in an honest way. God, that leads us right where we are. Right where we need to hear you today. So God, I pray that God, you just help us to open up our hearts. Let me be the danger that we show up, but our hearts have to show up. And so God, we choose right now to open our hearts up. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's people said,
Amen.
So we're wrapping up a two-part series. This isn't even a series, it's a two-part sermon. Really, getting us ready for Advent. Advent begins next Sunday. You're like, I've never heard the word Advent. I don't know what that means. We'll come back next Sunday and see what we do here. All right? Because Advent is the season. Advent is the, on the church calendar, Advent is the word for Christmas, the Christmas season. It's the five Sundays usually lead up to Christmas. Starts immediately after Thanksgiving. And so we really try to lean into Advent here. We light candles. We do things we don't normally do throughout the year. And so we're going to make it a distinct season in our church. That begins next Sunday. And so we are doing a sermon to get ready for that called Prepare Your Room. And so if you missed last week, you can go back and check it out on Facebook and YouTube. But last week what we did is we just heard Jesus call us to follow him. And the promise that if we follow Jesus, what we get is life because we get Jesus. And so we were talking about following Jesus, making room in our lives for him. And so today, I want to get as practical as we possibly can and just say, just figure out how to do it. Okay, like, I'm in. I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to make room for him in my heart. How do I do this on a very practical 9-to-5, raising kids, single, wherever we are in our season of life level? That's where we want to try to go today. But before we go there, I want to ask you a question. How do you do it? No, like for real, how are you doing right now? Just do a quick 20-second gut check. How are you doing this morning? You're like me, and you are. There are moments when you're driving your car, and lights come on, and the dashboard indicates something is happening to your car. You know what I'm talking about? Right? Light comes on, says, hey, something's going on under the hood. Got to get that checked out. Now, if you're like me, at this point, I hope you're not, my first response when a light comes on my dashboard is, well, just ignore it. Maybe it'll go away. Maybe the car ferry will come and fix it while I'm sleeping or something like that. That's never worked for me, by the way. I don't advise that whatsoever. But here's the deal. I wonder if there are any lights on the dashboard of your life. So like for some of you, the stress light is on. The burned out light is on today. The holidays, Thanksgiving this week, we're moving into the holiday season. And some of you, the baggage that comes with the holiday season, the feelings associated with it, that light's on. Can I just tell you something about those lights that might be on the dashboard of your life? They don't fix these things. They don't just magically go away.
You have got to tend to it.
And I love that Jesus walks right up into our hearts and our lives, and he says this. So if you've got a Bible open, I want us to look at these verses here, Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Listen to what Jesus says. And hear Jesus say this to you today. With those lights on the dashboard of your life on, hear Jesus say this right into your world today. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Come to me. All you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And so this goes back to what we saw last week, where Jesus said you could gain the whole world and lose your soul. And what we said last week is a lot of us make the mistake of thinking that soul is just this really small part of us, that when we die, it goes to heaven. Jesus saves our soul. That's what goes to heaven when we die. That's not what Jesus meant at all by the word soul. When Jesus used the word soul, and when the New Testament, when Old Testament, when the biblical authors use the word soul, they mean your entire inner world. So your inner life, what's happening to you under the surface, that is your soul. And look at this. Jesus, here he is, he's talking about the inner self. And Jesus says, if anybody at Summit in the 930 is weary or burdened. Man, I feel like that might be a really good description for our lives. Don't you agree? Right? Maybe some of you, how was your 2023? Weary and burdened. And so Jesus says, if there's anybody like that in the crowd this morning, if there's anybody like that who the lights of the dashboard of your life, teenagers, are on. Grandparents, the lights are on, and you can see some things under the hood, and they've been there for decades, and you've never tended to it. Jesus is saying, listen, if you are weary and heavy laden, heavy burdened, come to him, because Jesus has a different way of doing life. Keep these words up here on the screen. Notice that a couple of times in this, and these are really familiar verses, notice that there's a weird word in here, and it's the word yoke. Take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. That's a weird word. What is a yoke? Well, I've actually got a picture of it. Parker, would you go to the next slide for us? Here it is. This is a yoke. A yoke is simply a wooden beam that in Jesus' day would have went between two cattle, and they would have plowed a field like you're seeing happen in the picture right there. Maybe they would have pulled a cart. The idea is that a yoke was something heavy you would put on somebody. And here's what Jesus has in mind when he's talking about yokes. Jesus has this in mind. If you're taking notes, you might want to write this down this morning. All of us are carrying a yoke. Every single one of us in the room, no matter where you are spiritually, every single one of us, we're all carrying some kind of yoke. Something has been put on us by somebody, and that somebody might have been ourselves. Here's the deal. The world that we live in will put a yoke on us, won't it? You've got to keep up with the Joneses. You've got to have this kind of body. You've got to make this kind of money. And man, that's a heavy yoke. You know, you might be here today, and the yoke that has been put on you, your family put a yoke on you, you'll never be like anybody. You'll never make the growth of your sister. You'll never live up to how they're making it. And then that yoke is on you today. And some of you, you just lived your entire life trying to please people that they're not even watching what you're doing every day, but you just feel this yoke on you. Some of you, you walked in this morning and the yoke on you was maybe something that your boss put on you, your career put on you, expectations that you had, might be your friends put a yoke on you, your teammates put a yoke on you. Here's the deal. Church can put a yoke on you, can't it? The church can put a heavy yoke on you. You've got to perform. Hey, listen, if things aren't going well at church, put a smile on your face, fake it. At church, we can put a yoke of legalism on you where you try to get God to love you based on what you do, and you're really religious, and you've got the I's dotted, T's crossed. But at church, can, if it's not careful, put a real heavy yoke on all of us. Watch this. Jesus has a yoke. But the thing that makes Jesus' yoke different than every other yoke
is that his yoke is easy and his burden is light.
And the reason Jesus' yoke is different, say, than the yoke that maybe your family or your own expectations or somebody else has put on you, is because under Jesus' yoke, watch this, we're not living under our own performance. We are living under the finished work of what Jesus has done for us. That's good news, isn't it? Amen. We are living under the grace of God. So we're not working. Nobody woke up this morning trying to get God to notice you, get God to love you. Listen, if you're a child of God this morning, before you got out of bed, you were already loved by God. Man, that's a good yoke, isn't it? That's a great yoke. You had a horrible week, man. The yoke on you that Jesus put is a yoke of love, grace, acceptance. So we're not trying to work our way to get God to notice us. Jesus's yoke is different. And so here's what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, listen, if you'll open your heart up today, son, I have a radical new yoke. Not talking heaven when you die. I'm talking right here today. So the question is, how? How do you do this? How do you come to Jesus this way when you're burdened and heavy laden? How do you come to Jesus and walk under this yoke and maybe let go of some of the old yokes that are weighing us down? Here's the answer. It's not a new answer. Now the answer might be new for some of us, but the answer to how to do this is actually thousands of years old. It originates from a group of Christians in the 3rd and 5th century that were in Egypt. And check this out. Imagine a group of Christians living between the 3rd and 5th century, and they looked at the world that they lived in Egypt at that time, and they saw that the world that they lived in was so filled with distractions. I mean, they didn't have iPhones. Okay? They didn't have cell phones in the 3rd and 5th century. There was no Facebook in the 3rd and 5th century. But they felt like their lives were so filled with distraction that the world was putting so much on them, it was almost impossible for them to follow God. And so what a group of Christians did is they actually left the city of Egypt, went out into the desert to learn how to carry Jesus' yoke. That we were going to give lip service to Jesus and talk about it. We want to actually see if we can begin to experience the Jesus life that is talking about Matthew 11, 28, 30. This group of Christians came to be known as the desert fathers and mothers. You know, from them you get things like monasteries and things like that. But they developed what's called today a rule of life. Now, don't let that word rule freak you out. Okay, some of you are like, oh my gosh, rules. Wait, whoa, what are we doing here? That word rule that they use in the original Greek, the word rule is actually the word where we get our word for trellis. You know what a trellis is? You may know. I had to put a picture of it up there. You can see it better on that screen right there. You see this? Oh, that's good things. Freeze. You're good.
All right.
All right, so that's a trellis right there. You guys have seen this. You know what this is, right? Trellis, it's a structure that goes up, and plants are meant to actually grow up the trellis. Because growing up, it's closer to the sunlight. Growing upwards, it's closer to the nutrients and the nourishment that the plant needs to live. And so when they talked about, hey, we need a rule of life, we're talking about this morning building a support system for your soul. We're talking this morning about how to build an inner support system for our soul. Man, I don't know about you, but I need a support system for my soul. Anybody else? I need something to carry the weight of what's happening inside me. 45 years old, I've learned how to fake it. I don't know how to play the church game. Man, I need an inner support system that can deal with my insecurities, my anxieties, the doubts, the fears that I have, all of the things inside of me. I need a support system for my soul. I don't know about you, but I'm in it this morning. And here's the deal. Maybe you're like, hey, I don't need one of those. I think I should have said that. Do you have any lights on in the dashboard of your life? And if you have lights on the dashboard of your life, what if that light is actually God speaking to you, saying, I have a better way? See, here's the problem that a lot of us have. Park, go to the next slide.
The problem that a lot of us have is we tend to view our lives in these categories. Now, the categories are great. Here's the problem. The problem is that we isolate these areas of our lives. So God, you know, gets an area of our lives, and then family and relationships get another area. Work gets an area of rest and relaxation. And so a lot of us, we live isolated, compartmentalized lives. So maybe you're here this morning, and you've got a God box. You know, you've got a God category in your life. And so maybe you try to read the Bible every once in a while. You go to church when you can. You pray and that sort of thing for your family, friends, and all of those things. And then in another box, you've got family and relationships. And so, you know, hey, that's maybe some really important friends or your marriage or your kids. And then you've got the work box. And for a lot of people, the work box is 24/7. It never stops, even when you're supposed to be off, right? They can always get in touch with you on your phone. You're always talking about work. You're thinking about work. You're going on vacation, and you bring work with you to the beach, right? Rest and relaxation. Some of you have no idea what that means. You have no idea what I'm talking about. So I just started speaking in tongues, right? So rest and relaxation. You take vacations, but your vacations tire you out. You better know what I'm about.
Amen.
There we go. Rest and relaxation. You have all kinds of days off built up at work, and you never use them. You just can't stop. And for some of us, it's a condition. We literally cannot stop. And so here's the deal. The categories are great. The problem is that when we live isolated, compartmentalized lives, if God's over here and rest and work and all those things are separated into other categories, this is just, it's real hard to actually be honest and say God's the first priority in my life. Hey, God's number one. But can I just tell you? Maybe God doesn't want to be number one. We'll come back to that in a second. But maybe God doesn't want to be number one on a long list of categories. Because we say that a lot. God's number one in my life. And then number two is this. And number three is this. And we try to compartmentalize these things. And we never think about how does God impact my life? What does God think about the fact that I can't stop? Or what does the fact that I can't stop actually say what I believe about God? What is the way that I treat people in my relationships actually say about what I think about God? And so there's all kinds of problems with these isolated, compartmentalized lives. Let me ask you a question this morning, and here it is. What would your life look like if the love of God for you was at the same? That the love of God wasn't an idea. Oh, I know that God loves me. No. Listen to me. That ain't what I'm saying. I'm not talking about, I know that God loves me, and I know the story of Noah's Ark, and I can pass Sunday school tests. I'm talking about, what if the love of God for you started to get deep down into your heart and deal with some of the just deeply rooted fears? What if the love of God started to shape your identity? What if the love of God started to just get into your DNA and just change you from the inside out? What if the love of God for you was at the center of your life? That's what a rule of life is all about. That's what a rule of life is all about. That everything in our lives, we are learning how to live from the love of God. We are learning how to live from the acceptance that we already have in Jesus. What might that look like? Now, what I'm about to do is going to be very practical. In the app, if you've got that open, we put some places for you. You might want to grab a connection card this morning just so you can draw and write out. This is for you. I'm going to get really practical. Every one of us in the room, we're all different human beings, different, you know, responsibilities and that sort of thing. So what you're going to need to do is you're going to need to take what we're about to talk about and apply it to your life. Okay, that's what he said. How can this begin to work in my life? So you might want to grab a sheet of paper, pull the notes app, open on your phone or whatever. Because what would it look like for you and I to practically try to live from the love of God or what we're calling a rule of life? Let's go to the next one. Parker, go ahead. So remember, look at the center. We're learning how to live from the love of God. So we're going to take the categories that we had. We're not going to isolate them. Because here's the thing. God doesn't want one section of my life, does he? What does God want? Y'all, God wants the whole thing. Amen? And listen, when God gets the whole thing, that's where freedom is. That's where freedom is. So here's the deal. So we're going to remove the God category. God doesn't get a category. You know why? Because God gets it. God gets it. We're learning how to live from the love of God at work, everywhere, everywhere. So this is why God, maybe God doesn't want to be number one. What would he want to be? What if God actually wants to be a deceiver? That's the thing. Not one in a list of many, the center of everything. So we're going to take that God box and we're going to call this first section prayer. Why prayer? Because any real relationship has communication in it, doesn't it? Any real relationship, your marriage, your kids, best friend, it requires some kind of communication. Prayer is just talking to God. And you can talk to God at home, you can talk to God at work, you can talk to God here. So I'm just giving you some examples of spiritual practices in this section that might help you connect with God. So I'm in prayer category, silence and solitude. Man, we've talked about this before in our church. In the Psalms, it says, be still and know that I am God. So maybe taking 10, 15, 30 seconds a day just to cut out all noise and distraction, just to sit and breathe and be still in the presence of God. Here's one, scripture. Listen, don't underestimate this. I don't want to just assume that we know it, so I want to say it. Do not underestimate the power of the Word of God in your life. So if the only time you're opening up the Bible is on Sunday, then you're starving your soul. You're starving spiritually. All right? So what would it look like for you to get into the Word of God, not just to say that you've read it, but so that the Word of God can get into you? What would it look like for you to do that on a regular basis? Journaling is an example. I'm a big journal guy. I don't know if anybody else is. Just write down my emotions. Write down questions that I have. Things I'm struggling with. Here's a practice that I want to hang out on this one for a little bit, because several people, the first time we talked about this in church, responded really well to it. Breath prayer. This is actually something that the Desert Fathers and Mothers talked about. Learning to pray in rhythm with your breath. And here's the reality, man. The powerful thing about this is that you can do this anyway. All right? Let's all do something together. We're all going to breathe in and breathe out. Let's all breathe in. Let it go. Breathe out. Breath prayer is just simply this. As we inhale, you might say the name Jesus, and as you exhale, you might say, Jesus, help me. Maybe this week you got a stressful meeting coming up. You need that breath. You got a test this week, it's real stressful. You got something going on at home, and you don't know how to handle it. That breath prayer, just breathing, just praying rather in rhythm with your breath is a powerful practice. Here's this. What practices help you connect with? Hey, check this out. Do you have an answer for that? What practices help you connect with God? Some of you are thinking this is crazy. I think it's crazy that you have an answer. What practices help you connect with God? Let's go to the next one. So here's another category in our lives. Rest. Let's talk about rest for a little bit. Rest. Sabbath. What's Sabbath? It's one of the Ten Commandments. Keep the Sabbath. The Sabbath is literally 24 hours where we stop. Where we rest, so you might actually need to take a nap, right? Where we spend some time in worship, and maybe just thanking God for the good things in our life. But Sabbath, here's the deal, 24 hours might be hard for you. Some of you are freaking out at 24 hours. Can you Sabbath for an hour this afternoon? Turn your phone off and Sabbath for an hour? Right, if you can call Sunday night, that's fine. Here's one, exercise is a form of rest, just taking care of the body that God's given you. A well-planned vacation. Notice this one. Giving is under rest. Why would giving be under rest? Here's why. Because we live in a world that tells us what we need to get is more and more and more. And some of you have bought into that and it burned you out. And man, giving, generosity, and the end of service says to your own soul, money is not my Lord. Jesus is. So you're like, why should I give? Because you are stuck on the rat race of trying to build a life based on stuff that you get. And I'm telling you, you're never going to get it. Giving is a form of rest. Here's one, limiting social media. Say amen. Amen. Here's this one. Let me ask you this question. I'm just trying to give you some questions trying to help you. If your soul stays, Jesus said, if your soul stays at the pace it's on now, where will you be? If your inner person stays at the pace that's working right now, where are you going to be? You might still be here, but are you going to be burned out? You might still be here next year, but are you going to be still carrying that anger? Still just as bitter as you were? So rest. Why should we rest? Because, listen, if we're already accepted and loved by God, then we can rest.
do that. We can let people in so we can grace. Let's go to the next one. There's no, oh yeah, I got this quote. Self-care is never a self, go back to that. Self-care is never a selfish act. It's simply good stewardship of the only gift I was put on earth to offer. I love that quote. Go to the next one. Relationships. So relationship is another category of living from the love of God. What are some key relationships in your life that bring you life you need to get rescued? Again, everybody here is different. So there's single people, and it might be, you know, some family members. It might be some friends. Maybe you are married and it's your spouse. Maybe you've got kids. Who are the key relationships in your life that you need to invest in? Because those relationships are life-giving for you. Here's another one. If we're going to learn to live from the love of God, we need to learn how to be present with people. You know, a lot of times I can be talking to somebody and the whole time I'm scrolling on my phone. Isn't that nice when we do that to each other? Right? The whole time we're looking at, right? Not even present with you, not even looking at you in the eye. Right? But here we are, man. We're image bearers of God. I should take the time to look at you, listen to you. And you do that with me as well. So being present with people, here's a big one we never think about. You want to learn how to live from the love of God? Serving is a part of that. Serving is a part of that. Don't run off, man. We talk about serving here all the time. One of the reasons we're always big on serving is because it does something powerful to your own heart. When on the calendar, one time a month, is you coming to church to serve somebody. To put somebody before yourself by being some kids, guest services, taking up the offering, working at the coffee area, I don't know what it is. But serving is a way to live from the love of God. Got one more. Go ahead and next. Work, school, or mission? Man, you're going to live from the love of God. What would it look like for you to go to work living from the love of God? Go to school living from the love of God. The reason we put mission there is because here's why. Wherever you are, that's where God put you. You on mission for you. You may hate your job, and God might change your job in one season of your life. But right now, can you be faithful to the mission that God's got for you in that job? Right? So how can we live from the love of God? Number one, cultivate gratitude. Can I just tell you, if this coming Thursday is the only day when you get thanks, y'all, we got some work to do. Amen? Maybe you've got to cultivate gratitude in your life. So maybe you want to write some things down in your journal. Three things I'm thankful for. Just build that middle into your life. Here's one. Pray the key points of the day. So you're going to practice this week? Pray for your teammates. Pray for your coaches. You're going to take your kids to practice. Check this out. Pray for their teammates. Pray for the parents of those kids. Pray for your coaches. Pray for your boss. Pray for your co-workers. Here's this one. Praying for and looking for opportunities to share the gospel. Right? So let's keep this up here for just a second. So just imagine your life looking like this. Imagine your life, and you are learning to live from the love of God. Now, here's why I want us to keep this up here. Here's why I want us to look at it right now. If you are looking at this, and you're thinking, oh my gosh, man, this really stresses me out. Ooh, it's a lot. Well, then we miss the point, because what did Jesus say about his gift? It's easy. Easy and it's life. Here's the deal. That's why I want to leave this on the screen for you to look at. This is not another thing for you to do. It's not. I remember when I first got saved, senior in high school, and it was drilled into me when I needed to have a time with God every single day. And can I just tell you all, man, I praise God for doing that. Man, I went to a youth group and, where that was a big deal, and man, I thank God for that youth group for that habit of building a rhythm into your life, starting your day with a couple of minutes to read the Bible. I mean, I thank God for that habit. But one of the things that I started to notice is I would have my time with God in the morning, but then a couple hours later, man, he put me in traffic that's not moving at the speed I want to do. Y'all, I could feel the Christianity leaving my body. Like, I just feel it. Oh my gosh, right? It's just crazy what can happen, right? Or I get a phone call that turns my world upside down. I had an awesome devotion in that moment, but then you know, I think that we have to live in God was a million miles away. Time with God is amazing. But listen to me. God wants more than one part of your day. God wants the whole thing. And so this is not another thing for you to add to an already busy life. This is
doing what you're already doing with some intentionality. But you didn't say, you are already going to go to worker school tomorrow. What if on the way to worker school, you seize that time intentionally, and maybe you turn the radio off so you can have some time to focus prayer. Don't close your eyes and pray when you're driving. But you can have some time to focus prayer while you're driving. Why do you do that? Or what if instead of listening to the same old music, what if you turn on some worship music so that you could worship in your car? And what are you doing there? You're being intentional with something you already do. You already know you're going to take the kids to 27,000 practices this week, and you're already stressed out about it. You're already going to do it. But what if, on the way to one of those, you did spend that time on the way to that one practice praying for your kids? You're already going to do it. You're already going to get together maybe with some family members this Thursday for Thanksgiving. You're already. So what if this week you actually carved out some more time to express gratitude and Thanksgiving? You are already going to do these things. This is just living life with deeper and greater intentionality. Now, a lot of this is new for most of us. So here's what I would say to you. I would say, looking at this right here, hopefully you take the notes or whatever, maybe you can pick it up with your phone. What are one or two things from this that jumps out to you that you might try to implement in your life this week? Just one or two. Right? So like if the only time you open up the Bible in a week is right here at church, maybe you want to download a Bible app and say, hey, I'm going to try to read the Bible 2 days this week. Great, start out there, start where you are. What's one or two things you can begin to do this week? I love this quote from John Mark Comer, and we're also going to look at this right here, this quote. If a vine doesn't have a trellis, it will die. And if your life with Jesus doesn't have some kind of structure to facilitate health and growth, it will wither away. Watch this. Following Jesus has to make it onto your schedule and into your practices, or it will simply never happen. Apprenticeship to Jesus, that's a fancy way to say discipleship, will remain an idea, not a reality. So let's end the way we start. How do you do? Do you have any lights on the dashboard of your life? Listen, I'll be honest with you. I don't know about you, but when I read Jesus' words in that day, I'm going to put anybody tired of being burned out, I will give you rest for your soul. And I don't do that. I say to myself, man, but then something rises up in me in that moment and says, it will never happen. And so what if today, this is what we know, what if today, no matter where you are, some of us, we're tired, we're burned out, we're so wound up on the inside, maybe you just have a hard time even sitting still for this. You don't really even know how to begin to process something like this with the level of anxiety in your life. What if instead of shutting Jesus down, we open up our hearts this morning to the possibility that maybe the reason we came is because Jesus brought us here. And he is inviting us to let go of yokes that have weighed us down so that we can begin to live under his easy yoke. Did you pray with me today? God, it's sermons like this that remind us that if what we do here stays simply at the level of talking, it has been a waste of time. Jesus, even the book of James says, don't be a hearer of the word. Agree with it. Think that's good. Say amen. Do it. Be a doer of it. And for some of us here, the voice of the Holy Spirit has whispered to us in the past couple of days, hey, I'm inviting you to live a different life. I'm actually inviting you to let go of that yoke you've been carrying for years with rage and anger. Why? Jesus, I pray that we would not close our hearts off to you. But no matter who we are, where we are, we would open up our hearts to the possibility that you actually do have a radically new way for us to live. Right now. Right now. And
So just with every head bowed, every eye closed, let me start with a responsible question. And listen, there's a prayer council up front, and maybe, can I just say something to this one? Maybe the stuff you're doing on the inside, you don't even carry it alone. You need somebody to pray for that. You need somebody to pray with you about that anxiety, that tension, that insecurity. There's prayer counselors up here that you can kind of get on your knees and pray up front. I'm going to invite anybody that would want to receive prayer this morning, you come. But let me ask you a question this morning. Every head bowed, every eye closed. But how many people in here this morning would say, I need a support system for myself? Put your hand up. There's a hand. Oh, just put them up real high. If you're here, you'd say, man, I actually genuinely need a support system for myself. Put your hand up. Anybody else? Honestly, most hands are up. Thank you for your honesty, man. Praise God, put your hands down. Thank you for that. Let's start right there. So if you just put your hand up, or maybe for some reason or another, you didn't, but you know that you need to help. Here's the next step, and I want to ask you to do this. I'm going to ask you in prayer to ask Jesus right now. Jesus, where is the son? Just say that to him right now. Stop what you're thinking about. We'll be there with you this time. Just take a second. Jesus, where does this begin from? Ask him. If you don't hear anything, that's fine. But he's putting yourself in a position to be. Jesus, where does this begin from? And for some of us, it means we've got to drop the God box and keep trying to keep God isolated from our lives. We need to let him in. Maybe in our work, our finances, relationships, our time. For some of us, it really does mean, Holy Spirit, I'm going to need you to help me to adopt a couple of these practices. I think one of the disadvantages of this time of year is we can hear a sermon like this and we think, oh man, that sounds like a good day to start at the beginning of the new year. January, new year, new year. I'm going to start following Jesus. Listen, if that's you, no way. Do it there. Whatever Jesus says, hey, this is where this starts from. Just say yes to him and try to start following in that area. Will it be hard? Probably because it's good. Will it be difficult? Probably because it's good. But over time, watch how the Spirit uses it in your life. Now, for some of us, where this begins is giving our life to Jesus. Maybe you're here, you've never given your life to Jesus. You're not a Christian. You're not saved. And you don't know him. You believe that God's real, and you're a nice person, but you have never surrendered your life to Jesus. What would happen if you surrendered your life to Jesus? He's already told us. He would give you his life, and he would give you a yoke that is easy and light, and you can become his son, his daughter, and begin to live under his accomplished work for you. You can have the complete forgiveness of God today. And right now, if you know you need Jesus in your life, and you want to experience the forgiveness and grace of God, to lead us in a prayer this morning, you can pray this prayer right there where you're at. Say, dear Lord Jesus, forgive me for my sin. Come into my life and save me today. God, I give my life to you for the very first time. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for coming back from the dead for me. Jesus, help me to follow you, God. And Jesus says, we bring this service to a close. We move into the Advent season. The Advent season is a reminder you have come. Not to give us a heavy burden, but to set us free from our burdens so that we can follow you. And Father, I pray that what we've done here today will lead to a new way of living. And God, as we move into a time of giving, God, I pray that you would free us from materialism, consumerism. God, free us from the lie that says we are what we own, have. Help us to live in the freedom that we have as your sons and daughters. That where our treasure is where our heart is. Jesus, we are choosing today to make you our king. So God, bless the giver, bless the giver. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, right now, I want to ask you, you can go ahead and grab your connection card and let us know what God is doing in your life today. Let us know any decision that you made today. All right? Let us know. Maybe you want to volunteer, you want to get baptized, anything like that. If you gave your life to Jesus, check on the back of your connection card. Drop it in the offering baskets as they go around here in just a moment. But a couple of you have been asked to help us receive the offering. And if you have been asked, you can go ahead and get it in place. As they're doing that, you can make any preparations you need to give. You can also give online as well. And we've already prayed over the offering, so you guys can go ahead and begin to receive that there. Drop those connection cards into the basket as they go around. Hey, real quick, December the 17th, so we've been talking about it. December 17th, our Christmas event for families in our community. This past week, we got a lot. We got the majority of the names of families. We got a lot of new names. A lot of new names. I think Dayton told me it's over 60. It's a lot. There's a lot of people out there that we've been given to see if we can help. So if maybe we missed the thing last week, maybe this is the first time you're here, December 17th, we're having a Christmas event, and we provide Christmas for needy families. You can serve at it, by the way. But if you want to sponsor a family or a couple of kids, whatever, those are out there. Dana is already at the table. She can help you get family. She can answer any questions you have. But those are out there for you to grab as many as you'd like to take today. All right? Hey, listen. Also, one more thing I forgot to say last week. If your child is some kid's age and they would like to be in the Christmas musical, practice this tonight at 6 o'clock. Okay? All right. Hey, love you guys. Good to see you.